This is the beginning of part two, titled, How to Get Your Prospects Prepped and Ready. In order for prospects to be influenced by the system, they have to be in the right frame of mind. And in part two, you'll hear how to get them there. Because the brain is contextual when it comes to buying, it's important that you get prospects to recreate specific, enjoyable purchasing experiences. And in part two, Ken explains how to do this. This step is crucial to your success and should not be skipped or underestimated. It also must be done exactly right. The key components from this audio are the most important questions to ask your prospects that must be said word for word, how to draw a map of your prospects' buying strategies, how to prevent yourself from contaminating and ruining the process. Once you have your prospects prepped and ready to go, you'll easily be able to pull out the code words you need to uncover their buying strategy. Now let's get going.
One of the first steps in eliciting a person's strategy or finding out their buying code is we want to establish rapport with a person. There's lots of different ways to establish rapport. And in fact, in this particular program, I'm not going to really go into that in depth because I'm going to assume that you already somewhat know how to do that. If you don't actually know how to tap into somebody's unconscious greeting, if you don't actually know how to match and mirror, if you don't actually know how to establish rapport with somebody through liking and some of these other principles, I would definitely suggest that you study some other programs, maybe study some of the other things, and actually learn how to establish this rapport. Just real briefly, that's the first step. We want to establish rapport with a person. If I'm a marketing consultant, I can easily establish rapport just by asking the person about their business. Asking them, how did you get started in this business? Why did you get started in it? What do you like about it? What are your challenges? A lot of times, just by asking the person those kind of questions, it's going to get them talking. People love to talk about themselves. And then as I just kind of match their experience, as I ask about each little thing that they're talking about, I'm going to be establishing that rapport. As a part of that rapport process, one of the things I want to do is, again, get the person into the right frame of mind. I want to kind of get them back to thinking about the same emotional state that they were in the last time they did something like this. So, depending upon what I'm doing, for example, if I'm a car salesman, I might ask the person, oh, is that your car? And they'd go, yes. And then I'd go, oh, how do you like it? Then they'd start to tell me about it. See, now what I've done at that point is I've kind of set the stage. By simply asking the question, is that your car, it gets them thinking about the car. And then I ask them if they like it. Again, they start thinking about the car. Unconsciously, they start to think, what do they like about the car? What do they don't like? They start to think about times they've driven the car. It just kind of puts them in a frame of mind of thinking about the car. If I wanted to elicit somebody's jewelry buying strategy, again, I might notice, ooh, that's a really nice bracelet. Ah, you know, how did you decide to buy that bracelet? Now, the reason I'm starting off by saying that's a really nice bracelet or, ooh, that's a nice car, is because it's much too abrupt to just launch into, how did you decide to buy that bracelet? Or, how did you decide to buy that car? You need to transition people into this. You can't just abruptly go up to somebody and ask them their buying strategy. It's too abrupt. People start to wonder, what, huh? Why are you asking me that? Whereas if I start off by saying, wow, that's a really nice bracelet, how did you decide to buy that? It's not abrupt. People don't wonder why I'm asking. They automatically assume that the reason I'm asking is because I really like the bracelet. So, part of the process is this setting the frame or starting the process of getting people into the right frame of mind so that we can actually start the process of beginning to ask them the right questions. How you go about pre-framing or setting someone up to get them into this state of mind to find their buying strategy is going to depend a little bit upon the circumstances or the situation you're in. If I'm a car salesman, I'm on a car lot, then obviously I can ask them about their previous car, or I can start to ask them a little bit about what they like about cars, or maybe why they're looking for a new car, and I can get them in that kind of frame of mind. If I'm just going up to a friend, or I'm just doing this with an associate at lunch because I'm practicing, that's when I'm going to say something like, ooh, that's a really nice watch. Or maybe I'm even going to say to them, hey, you know, I'm learning this new technique, I want to try something, do you mind if I ask you a few questions? If I were a financial advisor and I was sitting down with somebody, then again, a good transition into that would be, before we go any further, I want to find out a little bit about you. And obviously, if you're a financial advisor, you're going to do that suitability and you're going to start to ask them questions. And so as a part of asking them questions, then you're going to say, look, I need to, you know, find out a little bit about how you make decisions and how you think. And then you can start to ask them the questions. This setting the frame or getting people ready before I start to ask them that first question is a very important part of the process, and it's often the part of the process that I notice people skip or forget to do. I think one of the reasons people forget and skip it is because it's actually not necessarily a part of the process as we're doing the process. It's kind of a preparatory step. So I think that's reason sometimes people just leave it out. Okay, the first real step in finding somebody's unconscious buying code is literally to ask them the question. And it's a very specific question. Again, I can't reiterate this enough, but you really have to get the question exactly word for word right. If you leave off one word or change one word, you're not going to get their buying strategy. You're going to get something different. And then, as you go to sell them, you're going to have bad information, and it's not going to work. Basically, the question is, how did you decide to buy blank? Now, depending upon the industry I'm in, I might be able to change that question a little bit. Or I am going to change the question slightly. For example, if I'm a financial advisor, I might pre-frame it a bit by asking them, what was the best financial decision you've ever made in your life? And then letting them explain that to me. And then I'm going to ask that question, how did you decide to buy that investment? If I'm a car salesman, I might ask them, how did you decide to buy your last car? If I'm a real estate agent, I'm going to ask them, how are you going to decide that this is exactly the right house? One of the things we do have to keep in mind here is that beginning thing that I talked about, which is that it's context dependent. So, if I'm asking them about the house, if I ask them, how did you decide to buy your last house, I'm going to get a slightly different strategy than I might get for their current buying strategy. For example, maybe when I bought my last house, I was looking for a neighborhood that had a lot of children in it because I had young kids. But maybe at this point, all my kids are grown and they're gone, and now I'm looking for a really quiet neighborhood that doesn't have a lot of children running around the street. So the actual answer is going to be slightly different. Before, it might have been, well, I decided to buy that house because I had a bunch of children. Whereas my strategy now is, I want a quiet street. Same thing with a car. Maybe my last car, I bought it because it was really fast, or maybe it was really good looking. And maybe at this moment in time, I'm looking for a car that's economical, that gets really good gas mileage. Or maybe I'm looking for a car that fits a baby seat easier. Whereas my last car, it was just me when I bought it. But now I've got a family, and I've got to fit 3 kids in the back seat. So the question is going to be slightly different as we go forward. And for each industry, it is slightly different. The question needs to be exact. And if you have a question about this and you need it for your specific industry, I've included some examples of this for each industry in your manual. If it's not in there exactly for you, don't hesitate to email me or give me a call, and I can quickly or easily give you the exact question that's going to fit your situation. And again, I can't reiterate it enough. Sometimes if you change just one word in this, you're going to get a slightly different thing. So, let's assume I'm a marketing consultant, and I've set up the kind of mental environment here. I'm meeting with this business owner. Maybe he's heard me give a talk, so he's interested in what I do. And then as I meet with him, I ask him, how did he get started in the business? And he starts to explain that to me. Then, after I've established that rapport and I've got him thinking about his business, maybe I might ask him the question, what challenges he's finding in the business. So I'm starting him to get a think about things that he's wanting to change. Then what I might ask is whether or not he's ever hired a consultant in the past. If he has, then I'm going to ask him, how did you decide to hire that consultant? That'll be a good question to at least get his buying strategy for what he did at that particular moment in time. And then I can ask him the question, how would you decide that this is going to be perfect for you? And then he'll give me his strategy on buying my services. So again, look in the manual, see if it's got the question for your specific industry. But the basic question is going to be, how did you decide to buy blank? And where that blank is, I'm going to insert car, watch, sweater, jewelry, house, investment, insurance, and whatever it is I'm trying to sell, because that's going to give me the exact buying strategy for this particular thing that I'm trying to sell them. Now, as you look across the top of your worksheet, and it's very important that you use this worksheet as you're eliciting someone's buying strategy, you literally really, really need to have the worksheet in front of you. If you're on the phone, you need to have the worksheet there. If you're talking to somebody in person, you really should have the worksheet in a notebook, and you should be writing this down. What I found over the years is I can ask the question, but if I'm not writing it down, chances are I'm not going to get it in the right order, or I'm not going to hear the exact word that they're using. So using the worksheet is very, very important. On this worksheet, you're going to literally draw a complete map of the person's buying strategy. So what you'll notice is across the top of the worksheet there, it basically says buying strategy, and then it says how did you decide to buy blank. And then you'll notice it says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 going horizontally across the page. And what you're going to do is you're basically going to fill in the answers as they give them to you. For example, let's say, for example, I ask the person, how did you decide to hire the last consultant? And maybe the answer was, well, they came highly recommended. So right there, number one, I'm going to write highly recommended. Or maybe the first thing they are going to say is, well, I heard them speak. So right there, number one, I'm going to write heard them speak. If, for example, I'm asking somebody, how did they decide to buy that watch? Maybe the first thing they're going to say is, well, I really like the way it looked. So I'm going to write looked right there in that number one space. Whatever they tell me at first, I'm going to write that in. Now, one of the things that we need to talk about right here is a big problem that happens. As you're paying attention, and as they give you the answer, they're literally going to tell you in what I like to call code words, which is basically they're going to give you a word, and most of the time that word is going to be what we call a nominalization. And a nominalization is basically something that doesn't fit into a wheelbarrow. For example, if they say, I really like the way it looked, well, I can't fit looked into a wheelbarrow. It's just a word. For example, if they said, I heard them give a talk. Again, the word talk is really nonspecific. It's what I like to call a code word. So we're going to write this code word down right there in that space. One of the biggest problems that happens is we end up contaminating this code word. And what I mean by contaminating is the person will say one thing and will literally write something else down. Every single time I've taught this, every single time I've done a seminar, I come across this contamination. Even as many times as I've done this, as many times as I taught it, as many years as I've been practicing this, occasionally, every so often, I'm guilty of it myself. I remember one time a few years ago, I was giving a talk and I was eliciting somebody's buying strategy, and I literally started to write it down and I contaminated and wrote a completely different word in there. Now, what do we mean by contamination? Well, let's say, for example, I'm a car salesman, and I ask the person, how are they going to decide to buy this car? And they say, well, I want a really big truck. So I'm going to write down big truck. Now, what happens with contamination is, unconsciously, since this word big is really nebulous and we can't really define it, we don't know what it means, we automatically ourselves define it. So for example, when somebody says big, I automatically go, oh, I know what big means, and I start thinking, they want a one-ton truck. The problem comes, we don't really know what they mean by big. And I use the example of big as a perfect example here, because one time I had a car salesman do this, and the woman came in, and literally that's what she said, I'm looking for a really big truck. And the salesman wrote down big. Now, one of the things we're going to do later is show you how to figure out what exactly big means. And what we're going to do is ask them, okay, what do you mean by big? And you'll see that on the left-hand side of your paper there. It says, what does blank mean to you? And we're going to put the code word in there. We're going to say, okay, what does big mean to you? And when the salesman asked the woman that, she said, oh, what that means is I want to be sitting up really high so that I've got a good view. And it just makes me feel better to be sitting up really high. Well, now the salesman knew, oh, she doesn't want a one-ton truck. She just wants something where she's sitting up high. Once the salesman realized that, started talking to the woman in her own language and started showing her things where she was sitting up high, she turned to the salesman and she goes, you know, I've been out shopping all week and you're the first salesman that really gets it. You're the only one that understands what I'm looking for. Because he understood the fact that he had to figure out what big meant and that there was this process that we call contamination, he's the only salesman that got the sale from her. He's the one that established the most rapport. I see this time after time after time. And it's probably one of the key things you're going to really have to watch for yourself. For example, somebody might say, oh, another good example is I had a real estate agent one time. And as she was practicing this, she asked the woman, what are you looking for in a house? How are we going to decide to buy it? And the woman said, oh, I want a house with a really good view. So she wrote down view. The next step is we've got to ask them, what does view mean to you? And as we write that down, now you're going to go underneath the one. And up there at one, you're going to write view. But then what the person tells you, it means we're going to write down below it. So now we're going to go down the page vertically. Well, what happened with this real estate agent is she'd been out, or everybody had been showing this woman houses with the typical thing that people might think of as a view, which is, oh, you know, I get to look over the city lights, and, ooh, I can look for miles. And what happened is she was out showing this woman houses, and all of a sudden they're driving down the road, and they see a sale sign, and so they pull into this house. And as they're showing it, the woman goes, oh, this house is perfect. And the real estate agent's thinking, wait a minute, what do you mean it's perfect? It doesn't have any view. It's surrounded by trees. And the woman's standing in the kitchen, and she looks out the kitchen window, and she goes, oh, see, it's got the best view here. I can't see the driveway. From the kitchen window, I can't see any of my husband's cars. And what the woman was meaning by view is she wanted to be able to look out her windows and not see her husband's cars. Her husband liked to work on cars and maybe had 5 or 6 cars, and she just didn't want to see them when she looked out the window of her house. That's what view meant to her. So we're going to have this same problem all the time. You have to write down exactly what the person says. You've got to listen carefully and not interpret. You've got to ask them. If somebody says, oh, I want a house that's open, you've got to ask them, oh, what do you mean by open? What does that actually mean to you? If I'm a business consultant or a marketing consultant and somebody tells me, I want to be able to increase my sales, we can automatically assume we know what that means, but we don't. We have to ask, what does increasing your sales mean to you? And maybe what the guy is going to tell us is, means I'm going to make more profit. Or it means I'm going to pay less taxes. Again, you'd be surprised sometimes when you ask people what something means, what it really does mean. A lot of times we assume it means one thing, and it means something totally different.
This is the end of part 2. Please continue to part 3.